Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, not Rob, I'm here tonight to host the finale podcast of Big Brother 23 here on Rob Has a Podcast. And joining me is the not host, Rob Cesternino. How you doing, Rob?
Taryn, thank you so much for taking the wheel here tonight. I was a little distracted with Survivor going on tonight as well, but very excited to be here and talk about the BB 23 finale. Congratulations, Xavier. First black winner of a Big Brother US non-celebrity edition.
There you go. Yes. Yes. Rob, of course, missed parts of the finale here, doing the Survivor know-it-alls. And in other words, he didn't miss any of the finale doing the Survivor know-it-all.
I did. I had the TV on here. I was if you're watching the video of the know-it-alls, I think you could see my eyes dart across the room to the TV a couple of times as I was following along. I was like, oh, okay, Xavier just knocked Oz out and won.
Yeah. Well, also joining us here tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I'm here to celebrate. I've got my celebratory coat and my Martinelli's that I'm going to pour in a nice glass to make it look like champagne. And yeah, big accomplishment tonight. And Tiffany won America's Favorite House Guest. So, you know, I'm just doing great all around. And I'm very excited to talk about the finale. I had a great time watching it.
Yes, definitely got a result here with Tiffany winning the America's Favorite House Guest. Also joining us here tonight is a man who did not Russell Hans himself because he managed to pull off a win here in his bucket hat in the Big Brother 23 draft. And that is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
The champ is here!
I'm here, y'all. I'm here. I am excited. I am happy. It's been a good night for me. Not only am I the winner of this draft with the third pick overall, but also... I'm not eating 200 nuggets. Life is good. I'm living large and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
There you go. Living large, just like Xavier, our winner of Big Brother 23. It was a finale that seemed a little bit inevitable here as at first it seemed like Azza was going to be competing against Xavier for the grand prize of $750,000. But it turns out she was just going to take him anyway. So it's really, really didn't matter all that much, did it? But we do have our first black winner of Big Brother US proper. And that is cause to celebrate here as the cookout succeeded in their mission. And here we are. What a season. What a season here, Rob. It feels like it's been a lifetime for me, at least. Especially these last couple of weeks.
I mean, that is the nature of the beast. I mean, that is Big Brother. Every Big Brother season, you know, it ends up in the end feeling this way. But, you know, there's not too many times that we can come away from a Big Brother season and have it be important and meaningful as it was this time out here in 2021 in Big Brother 23 to have the cookout and everything that it signifies and just the accomplishments that I think that were recognized in the finale. And so, you know, congratulations to Xavier, obviously, on his win against Big D, but also in Tiffany getting America's Favorite Player. I think that also, like, was something where the cookout was such a big force. And, of course, we all saw, there were people who complained about the cookout, but to have Tiffany also be recognized as America's Favorite Player, as, the favorite player of all of America here tonight, I think that that's also another very powerful part of this whole story.
Yeah, it felt like a big frustration of the season in this back half of it was that Tiffany was not really, not only not getting the sort of the credit that she probably deserved for advancing the cookout's goal as much as she did, but also being actively pushed out of the credit. And so for her to be able to get props from Brent of all people in the finale and then also win.
Yeah. Yeah, weird choice.
Melissa, would you expect Brent to be the person to I did not.
No, I also didn't expect them to call on him at all. Like, I really was shocked that they were even like, let's turn it over to Brent. I was like, really? You know, I'm glad that he gave her the credit. I thought it was funny that he like seemingly purposefully didn't say like a mastermind. I feel like he tried to avoid saying like master strategist, mastermind. I don't know. For whatever reason, it was like he kept trying to avoid giving her like full credit. But he did say that she was, you know, controlling things or doing things when he thought she was doing nothing. So I like, it was like kind of good, but also not exactly what I was hoping to hear, which is like that she was like a mastermind of the season, not just that she wasn't doing nothing. But you know, I'm glad that she got some credit. And in the end, you know, she gets the America's Favorite. I was so happy. I was surprised though that they didn't give, you know, I'm jumping ahead, but I was surprised they didn't say final three for America's Favorite. Don't they normally say like the top three vote getters? Maybe it was just very close.
I mean, if
what I would have cared if like,
who do you
Hannah
think would have been
in?
Third?
I think it would have been Hannah. Although I think it could have been Claire. I don't know, but maybe, I would think Hannah probably.
If Hannah or Claire got it, I think they would have said it.
No, oh, you think this is like, oh, we don't want people to know this one. They're not going to be thrilled with this.
Yeah, I think after the edit they gave Big D in this episode, they were like, we don't need to say that he got third place.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, then I'm glad that they kept it like that then.
I did wish that we got to hear a little bit more from Tiffany there. It was literally like, Tiffany, how do you feel about this? Well, it's my money. Okay, let's move on to Xavier. Like, what? That was just a joke. Okay.
I know. It's like she
it was a good joke.
Obviously
it was
going
a good
to
joke.
Say, it was a great joke. But she obviously was gonna say, like, no, of course, like, you know, say something to her son, like something, you know, meaningful. But you know, leave it on a joke. That's fine too. She has the money.
Oh yeah, how are you feeling tonight after this finale?
You know, it's been great. It's been great. I mean, honestly, and I feel like a lot of people echo this, the season felt like it was dragging by the end, and it's not the fault of the cast by any means. To me, the show is just a little too long potentially. But that being said, I thought the finale was a lot of fun. Obviously the first hour with the comps, it's a little yada yada. We kind of, the most expected result happened, so that's fine. The Q&A portion still leaves a lot to be desired in what we want, and I'm sure we can talk about that once again like we did last year. However, I did enjoy the reunion portion. I felt like they did that well. I feel like there was enough time that it didn't feel too rushed, except for the moment you just mentioned at the very, very end. But ultimately, I left it enjoying myself. I love the secret segment. That was great. They picked the exact right amount of pre-jury members to talk to. Two was more than enough. I did see a funny clip, a funny image. Whitney tweeted earlier that she lost her screen, so she couldn't see anybody on the Zoom call. So she was a little bit out of it and like not focused at all, which was funny to me. But no, honestly, to answer your question in one way, sum up, I had a great time. It was great. I enjoyed myself.
I loved the secret segment. I had so much fun watching that. I mean, there were so many secrets I had forgotten about, like half the secrets of the cast. But I loved that they kind of just like had each of them revealing these things about themselves and then seeing the reactions of everyone. And then, of course, you know, leaving it to the finale to have Big D and Xavier give their secrets. And I just thought that was really well done. I loved that.
Yeah, he didn't want people to think he was just like Frankie Grande.
That didn't even cross my mind that they would be compared, but you know, I guess I don't know. I a lot about.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. Those are very, very funny.
Yeah. To me, the secret segment was a reminder of what I think the show should be in the finale, which is segments like this. It was like a taste of like, this is what it should be. And we're going to give you the tiniest little bit of it. I thought easily the best, one of the best parts of the entire night is Brittany getting up there and talking about her autism, which, is this beautiful moment for about 20 seconds. And then Julia says, oh, you actually should have sat back down.
The lighting. It's really, you shouldn't have stood for that. That should have been.
So bad. You did. Yeah, that was bad. You should not have stood up. That was No. I can't believe she even said that. It's also like, okay, the moment's passed though. There's nothing that can be done now. Like, no need to like tell her that she did it wrong. Like, it's like right after she like reveals this really deeply personal thing, and she's clearly nervous to talk about it because she's, right. You know, her voice is shaking, and then Julie's just like, yeah, no, you did that wrong. Sorry. Your reveal was bad.
Right. And it wasn't even like that. It was like that Brittany is like standing in the shadows now. It's like, oh my God. Like, where did Brittany go? I can't even see her. What are they doing? It's not even like a noticeable thing.
She sits back down and she looks exactly the same.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed anything. Oh my God. it's so funny. And Brittany's just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
boy.
They're all standing up too. It was like, Big D, reveal your secret. He's like, all right, here we go. we don't need like a huge speech for every secret here. I would rather see the response of people than this big explanation about your secret. especially Xavier's, which felt like it lasted about 5 minutes before he finally told people what they already knew, which is that he was a lawyer.
Yeah, he went through like all of the things that he's told them that are true first. It's like, okay, you don't need to like preface it with all of your background. Like, just tell us what's not true. If everything else is true, then just tell us the not true things.
Mm-hmm. My name is Xavier.
he's like, oh, yeah, I live here. I do this. I really, it's like, okay.
But this is not the circle. We don't need to spend like a whole thing.
For his bio. Oh my God.
Yes. Speaking of Whitney, actually, in the pre-jury segment, she was actually tweeting out prior to the finale that she intended to call out the misogyny on the season if she had the opportunity to speak. So it was actually not a surprise to me whatsoever that she did not have a chance to speak.
I thought the same thing. I was like, the producer, there's no way the producers are going to like see her compiling evidence on Twitter and then be like, all right, let's let her go. Let's let her loose. Like, that's way too risky for them. No way.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Yeah. Yes. Did she play who in particular?
I would imagine primarily Big D. I mean, mm-hmm. he was definitely the worst offender there.
Well, especially in regards to her, in that her one moment on the show that they keep replaying was when Big D was talking about her top.
Mm-hmm. Especially like they played that right after the "I have the best social game of all time" cut to Whitney. What kind of top is that? Like, such a great social game that was.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. I think the biggest headlines from the episode, obviously, Xavier is the winner. Tiffany as America's favorite player. Also, I think, especially for those that were not caught up on all of this, the fact that Azza, even though she didn't win, which would have been more exciting, had she won, she did still intend to take Xavier to the final two. I mean, we had this whole segment on where they finally kind of let loose on Big D. He's been doing this sort of thing basically since he entered the house, but they waited to show us until literally the finale night when they were like 100% sure he was not going to win the game. Mm-hmm. But everything that he put Azza through over the last week, especially, we are finally seeing it here in this segment. Yeah.
Yeah, Taryn, I believe it was only 2 weeks ago where we were talking about some stuff on the morning update and we referred to, you know what? Step aside, Victoria, Derek F., you are now the metric for the worst player ever. Is there any way that he could have backed himself up more as that rightful owner of that spot besides the fact that he was guaranteed a final two seed and he pretty much lost it by being the way he was this past week? It was absolutely insufferable. In a week where you need do nothing, it's the final three, just relax. He did everything he could to get himself removed. He's lucky that the person he backed was the person who was going to go for anything for the win in Xavier. Otherwise, he would not have seen 75K tonight, which would have been wild. He should have been guaranteed 75K from like final 11. Like, this was his money to lose, and he literally lost 50% of the chance by the end there.
Yeah. I said Big D is the best example of the worst player that you could possibly have. And he got worse after that point. Like, I was at that point like, I think now I can make a case for it. Mm-hmm. But then it just got worse and worse and worse. And you see him, she asks him, who would you take, Big D, if you got to the end? Not you. I mean, we don't even see the half of it here. There's even more that we didn't see in this episode.
But to me, the case for the worst player ever, I still feel like that the worst player ever is the player who is going to be the first boot. Like, I will still take like the Frenchies, the Devins of the world as the worst player ever. The players that are guaranteed to go out week one, week two in almost any house they're in over the person who has zero chance to win, but a high likelihood of getting to the final two. At least they're on the podium.
Podium doesn't matter, Rob. We're not Azza.
Sure. But I mean, but what isn't $50,000 or $75,000 better than whatever you get for being the first boot?
Only if you're like, you know, judging on a scale of how much money you win, you know, like the way that I see it is that, we have seen so much more of Big D. We have seen him in almost every conceivable scenario. Mm-hmm. And
you have
we know how he responds in every single one. Whereas, you know, some people might come in like Frenchie, for instance, if Kylan doesn't win that HOH, there are lots of people that might have won that HOH and Frenchie's fine for much longer. And maybe Frenchie becomes the goat that gets dragged to the end in that spot. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't win that first HOH and he becomes a goat that people bring to the end. And he's in exactly the same spot as Big D. And maybe he plays worse. Maybe he plays better. We can't really know. But we can know when it comes to Big D. So.
Fair.
Yeah. That's my view, at least. But but here we are. Big D has made the second most amount of money of anyone on this season. So, you know, take that. That's take that. In.
Congrats. Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of would have wished that Azza would have won the final HOH, knowing that she would have taken Xavier. Like prior to knowing that, I was kind of like, "Oh, it's iffy," and I wouldn't really want a Big D and Azza final too. But the fact that now we know that she would have taken Xavier, and we could have had an Xavier and Azza final too, I would have much preferred that because then Azza could have gotten second place and gotten the money. Like I honestly would have preferred that. So. It is kind of unfortunate that she didn't win that. But you know, at the time I was like, I don't really want to risk Xavier not getting to the final two. Cause at that point I really did think Xavier deserved the win over the other two there. And I do think that he's a good representative winner. I think that obviously we would have loved to have seen more moves from him and more things and more, you know, just more agency in the game and doing more, but he really didn't just have
awareness to. Would have been nice.
Well, yes, obviously like full awareness would have been really, really nice. But at this point I'm taking what I can get. And I'll say that, like, I think that he kept his cool in a lot of situations where I don't know if I would have kept my cool with the Kylan thing and, you know, all that. And also I feel like he was very impressive for the first half of the game. I was very impressed with him. I do feel like it started to fall off for me when it seemed like he wasn't he clearly wasn't aware of what was going on outside of his own game. It just seemed like not only did he not really know what was going on, but he like thought the wrong things were happening. So that was kind of confusing to me. But overall, I think that he was a really strong competitor. And I think that, you know, he's a good representative of the season. I think if we're looking at the final three, obviously there, you know, I would have loved to have seen Tiffany win the final, but that's not going to happen. And out of these three, I do think that he's the best choice for the win. And so, you know, the fact that he won it unanimously makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, talking about Azza and this HOH competition, it blew my mind that after all that we talked about with Brittany, the one question that Azza gets wrong is, she thinks it's true that Brittany was nominated three times. And the reason that blew my mind is because Azza is the person more than anyone else in the house that had to hear Brittany say over and over, I've been nominated three times in a row, three times. Like just constantly talking about how she was nominated three times. And that was prior to her final nomination. And that is the question that Asa gets wrong. And it's so weird because it's exactly the same thing that happened to Nicole last season, where she got the first question wrong, even though, I mean, these questions are very easy. Very, very, you do not need to have studied at all to answer these questions correctly, because one of them is so obviously false most of the time that it's just so easy to pick out. And Ozzy gets all the other questions right. But it's the Britney question that she gets wrong after all of the Britney being nominated stuff, Rob.
I mean, for Asa, yeah, she blew it. I feel like that for Asa, that she gets to, walk out of the house, that a lot of people were rooting for her to win this thing, ultimately in this past week, where, she really did a lot to sort of reform the way people were looking at her, after the double eviction, when she voted out Chada. And she doesn't have to walk away from this game with the stigma of being the Asa, you idiot. Why didn't you take Big D to the end? You took Xavier, that you blew it. You would have been the winner. And so for Asa, who, I don't think she was really about that life to begin with. She talked about how, she wasn't about the game and that just was not her thing. She did not care. She gets to, have the, third place finish. And ultimately, walk away from this thing and not have to have people criticize her for one bad decision that she could have potentially made tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people will criticize her, unfortunately, but certainly not as much. She will not live have to live that down. And she didn't really care about the money either. So maybe it is a win ultimately for Asa here. Although I do think she was kind of hoping to prevent Big D getting that second place money.
Are they done? They're not even friends now after the season? The other day it was that they were going to hang out all the time in real life.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think that because she didn't actually have to make that decision, I think Big D will probably be like, it's all forgiven, but he won't actually forget. But he'll say it's all forgiven.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know that they'll hang out too much.
I mean, I wouldn't want to hang out with someone who treated me like that.
Yeah.
That's not a friend.
It's always strange, and I would definitely encourage the fans to not try to stoke these fires. Oz is going to get out and she's going to have plenty of people. You don't need to be one of them that's going to be tweeting clips at her and saying, this person's the worst. This is all the bad things they've said about you, and you shouldn't trust this person. You shouldn't talk to this person. Don't be that person. Let these people deal with each other how they want to deal with each other. They're allowed to forgive. They're allowed to have a relationship. Whatever it is that they want to do is perfectly fine, and you are not the arbitrator.
And you are making a very good point, Taryn, but just in case that stuff is happening, I am working on a postseason edition of The Slop.
You're ready.
We're ready. Get the receipts ready, Rob.
It's going to happen. I mean, the thing is, we're talking about how much criticism Asa might get or might have dodged. I think regardless, there are some people on this cast that are in for a world of hurt from these, aforementioned fans. I think the one dark spot on a otherwise very bright, uplifting, loving segment was when Kylan was given an opportunity to, again, say you didn't mean what you said. He still found a way to say, not do that. I think he's in for a world of hurt. I think Big D's in for a world of hurt. And I think they're going to be catching most of the Twitter hits than anyone else on this cast.
Yeah. Oh, that Kylan stuff, that Kylan segment. Oh my God. They've given him so many chances to walk back those comments and he has refused every single time. And it's it's so clearly, and he's even said, I've been asked about it in all my interviews. It's okay, if everyone's asking you about it, then maybe that means something. And if they're kind of trying to try and make it so that you know that hey, you can apologize here. Do you have something to say? And he's just nope. It's okay, well, that is the wrong move. They're giving you this golden opportunity and you are not doing it. And it's so funny because in all of his interviews that I was listening to, he's I have no problem apologizing. I'm absolutely all about apologizing for things. You know, when I mess up, I'm all about apologizing. And then like the second he's given the opportunity to apologize, he's like, oh, you know, actually, like, objectively, I didn't really say anything. And so maybe if you, like, watch back the clip, like, you'll notice that, like, I didn't actually say anything bad or, like, anything, like, that wasn't objectively true. And it's like, you literally said that his nephew will have no one to look up to. Like, that is a statement that you should be walking back right now. Oh, it's so an bad.
Fact. Well, I think that you'll find that if you watch it back, Xavier, because you don't, I Xavier, I think that you... You know, you as you have admitted to me right now, you don't even remember what was said. So once you watch it back, you'll see that I only said objective facts.
I'm just stating facts.
And yeah. if I did offend you, then I'm sorry for that. But what I've said was absolutely, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry you're offended.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, but like you were the one who did this. It's that non-apology thing where it's like, I'm sorry. So it sounds like an apology, but you're saying, I'm sorry that you did this thing or you felt this way. And that's not an apology. That means you don't feel like you did anything wrong that you need to apologize for. That means that you think the person is wrong for reacting in the way that they did or wrong for the way that they are feeling. And that's just like not going to cut it in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone needs to make that meme of the two guys like shaking hands or arm wrestling. One hand is Kylan, one hand is Big D, and in the middle, it's speaking objective facts and believing, since I'm doing that, you can't be mad because it's factual. They really do love dying on hills, those two. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just objective facts. Just like, Big D, he carried Ozza the whole time. Just stating objective facts. He also...
I definitely backpacked Ozza this season. Suitcase Ozza this season. Grocery bag Ozza this season.
I'm just stating facts.
I'm sorry if objective facts hurt your feelings. Kylan manages to make an ass out of himself twice in this episode because
I think it's going back to his costume.
right?
Yeah.
He's living up to it.
In the jury roundtable, he doubles down on Hannah, your game interchangeable with Big D's.
That was insane. That made me so mad. I mean, I loved that they all stood up for Hannah and were like, yeah, no, that's not true. And even like Alyssa's face when she's just like, what? I mean, that is so wrong. And the fact that that's what he thinks, like, I don't see how you could think that, number one. And number two, I'm just stunned. I'm honestly, I'm speechless. I don't know. That's bizarre.
Yeah. I don't think they could believe it. I think like Hannah was just like, Kylan, I disagree. Mm-hmm. And I love that from Hannah too. She's like, I'm not going to try to argue with this man.
Everybody else knows that she is above and beyond. I mean, a way better game player than Big D. Big D is literally, he's done nothing. I guess like Big D maybe just like was able to convince X and Kai that he did things. I don't even think he was able to convince X. I think X just like played into like, yeah, you were really good. But like the fact that Big D thinks that he could have won with X, like that he had a chance against X, but not a chance against Ozza, just goes to show how little he understands about this game. Sorry to like bring it to Big D instead of Kylan, but they're both just so wrong in all situations.
They're interchangeable in this instance. So that's completely fine, Melissa. Go ahead.
They're just interchangeable.
Correct me if I'm wrong, also, that the jury had not seen Kylan's vote, also, where he told Julie that Big D had done just as much as Hannah, and people just hadn't seen it. Correct?
Yeah, they hadn't. I don't believe they see the votes.
Yeah, which would have made it worse.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is that, like Kylan had made it very clear when Big D was in control of his fate, that he had zero respect for Big D's game, that he thought that like a Big D had basically done nothing, that he was cocky and that he had been carried. By proxy, he is saying that Hannah did nothing in the game as well, which he knows is not true. He was involved in a lot of Hannah's plotting and scheming. You can't even give him like a little bit of like the Xavier excuse of just like he was completely oblivious, because Kyland was not oblivious to a lot of these things. And he just decided that that was, you know, how it was anyway. And he, I mean, the way that he's talked about Hannah before is that, you know, like, well, if Hannah, he has said these words. He says, he said that he is the one that convinced Derek X not to play in the roulette competition. If he had not been there to tell him not to, then he would have played. And if Hannah thinks it was her that made it happen, then that just shows her age.
Oh my God. It's all so wrong. I just like, I don't love the whole like, oh, I can't wait till they get out of the house and like we can tell them what's going on. You know, I hate that sort of thing, but I do like the idea of like, I just want Big D and Xavier and Kylan to just see how much Tiffany and Hannah did and how much the women in the house actually were playing and actually were strong game players. Like, I want them to see that. I don't like the whole like, oh, let's have Twitter tell them. Like, I don't like that, but I do like the idea that like when they know more about the season and they hear more about the season, just like outside of like being like yelled at and on Twitter, like I am excited for them to realize how wrong they were. And you know, God.
Honestly, like I'm fine to let if people want to live in their delusion, like I don't think it's vital to my existence that like Xavier recognize Tiffany. I think that like if he talks to Tiffany and he talks down to her, I think that's not great. But I don't think he would do that to her face at the very least. You know, if you know whatever it is, like it's between them as far as I'm concerned. And you know, he can believe what he wants. If you know, if we talk to him and he asks my opinion, then at that point I would give him my opinion. But like I said, I don't think you need to go out of your way to like really just like rah. Like of course on this podcast, if they're saying things, we're gonna be like no. But again, like
yeah,
they're gonna come out, they're gonna see, they're gonna know,
they're gonna know.
And, well, you know, it, yeah.
I would say that I think the difference between like Xavier and Kyland is that I think Xavier will like read the room and realize like, oh, okay, this is what people are saying about the season. And okay, yeah, I guess like Tiffany like deserves the credit, where I feel like that Kyland is going to be the person who's like, no, actually, no, what you didn't see.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I can understand why you would think that, but really what was going on was, and then he's the person who's going to have to like try to explain it to us. Like, whereas I think Xavier, I'd be surprised if Xavier is at all like dismissive once he gets out of the house and sees what the, you know, the overall picture of the season is.
Xavier is not delusional, number one. And number two, I also think that him winning the game probably like softens any sort of like blow that might come. I think like the fact that he won like and objectively, he won unanimously. He was the best player because he won, blah, blah, blah. Like the fact that that's there, I think would allow him to accept like, oh, Tiffany did that, this, the other players did that. Like, I understand that. That's totally cool because I still won. Whereas I think that like Big D probably like if he's being told like, yeah, no, you don't deserve the money or whatever, you don't deserve that win, the win, because, you know, these players were better. Like, obviously, he's going to be like, no, they weren't. They sucked. And Kyland, of course, is Kyland. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when Xavier's in the house in the final three, it's talking about how like Tiffany is a bad apple in the cookout and she would never make jury in another season because she pops off on other people. Like she's talking to, or he's talking to Big D, who fully agrees with him with all of that. And Azza, who, even though she disagrees, he's able to kind of be like, no, you're wrong. Listen to me on this. I think that like, I think he will recognize very quickly that if he tries to say those kinds of things outside of the house, there will be a lot of pushback. He'll realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't be saying these things.
Yeah, I feel like he's not the type to double down, whereas I feel the others might be the type to really double down.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, hopefully this is the end of that unfortunate situation when it comes to Xavier. We'll see what Big D has. I mean, the real, I think, crowning moment of the episode, of course, is the America's Favorite Player announcement here. Where the top two are Derek X and Tiffany, which is obviously Xavier's worst nightmare. certainly Big D's. I think the fact that like Tiffany got that credit from Brent, I mean, it wasn't exactly like Janelle coming on and being like, you idiots, Dan just played the best game ever. But it was at least something, plus America's Favorite Player. It was hopefully the start of like, hey, let's give some credit where it's due here.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the exit interviews. I wonder if like any the fact that Tiffany won America's Favorite Player and was given a little bit of credit by Brent, like I wonder if that will change any of their, you know, perspectives on like who did what in the cookout and, you know, who was the best player in the season or whatever. Like, I just wonder if their answers will change a little bit now that they know that Tiffany is loved and respected outside of the house. I just am interested to see like how that changes their responses.
I don't know if we set up earlier in the show that we will have interviews with the final three and America's Favorite Player coming up later on tonight. And we will have those out to you sometime by Thursday morning.
Yes. So keep an eye out for those. Should be very fun. We'll get a chance to talk to Tiffany. So,
oh, yeah. It's awesome.
All right. So let's talk about the jury questioning here, because this to me was an all-time bad jury. I feel like it just continues to get worse and worse. And I know I say this every single season, but it's just absurd how terribly put together these are. Mm-hmm. And what made it even worse to me is that the jury roundtable, which unfortunately, of course, lacked, you know, your Dr. Will or like any sort of like interesting character to really like probe them on things. Also in the jury roundtable, pretty much every single one of their discussions ended with, well, we're just going to have to see what they say in the questioning. Let's just wait until we are able to interrogate them. Can't wait until we get to see what they say about their own game. And it was like really building up this big, here we go. The interrogation. All right. Pull out a card from underneath my seat. This one is for Xavier. This one says that the jury feels like you game where you won competitions. What was your strategy in about winning competitions?
I hate it. Like, let them say, number one, like this should be obvious. Let them ask their own question. Like, let them do it like Survivor, where they get a little statement and then they get to ask a question, or they get to finally address the final two. I feel like this is the time you get to address the final two. And instead of getting to address them and, you know, address any grievances they may have, hello, good television, or, you know, praise them for making it to the end or whatever. Like, instead, they just sit there and ask these like questions that don't give us anything and that they clearly didn't make up themselves. I mean, yeah, obviously maybe the jury as a whole, I think, comes up with these questions and then production kind of like puts it through the machine and like lets them ask these like very cleansed questions at the end. But like, let them just talk. Let it be like a conversation. It doesn't have to be long. I mean, and even if it is long, so what? I don't care. Like, it's just so frustrating how it's done. You learn nothing. You don't get any sort of meaningful dialogue or interaction besides like, hey. Anyway, so Xavier, like, it's so dumb and stupid, and yeah, they need to do something like yesterday. We've been saying it every year and they don't listen to us, clearly. Not that they need to, but they should, because this is something that should be changed.
Imagine a world where there's a jury questioning segment and America's Favorite Player, the person who knew the most about the game, the person who is the most entertaining player on the cast, who has the most to say about how people made it to the end and the most that, you know, to question about it, doesn't even speak in the jury questioning segment, doesn't get a question of her own. And the response from me, at least, was, it's not that big of a deal because it wouldn't have even been her question. Like, I didn't even care that much. I mean, I cared that I didn't get to hear from Tiffany, but I was also like, would it have even mattered? She right. would have been reading from a card. Like, it's absurdly, mm-hmm. absurdly ridiculous to me. There is no excuse for this poor excuse of a television segment.
It's not even good TV.
It's ridiculous. Mm. It's terrible TV. I tweeted this out. I cannot imagine how you could make it more soulless if you had tried. It's so bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the issues here are because that they want to have this baked into the live finale, and because that they are sort of like very pressed for time in the live finale, everything is sort of has to be accounted for in terms of like what segments they're going to do. That's why this happens. But you know, that's in a world where, you know, you are doing the finale live because, mm-hmm. you know, you have like a time slot and you have all these this press there and everything that's going on. Like, I mean, really, they could have started filming this finale at, you know, 12 noon today, and none of us would ever know by mm-hmm. the way that ultimately it unfolds in this no audience, like nobody in the building universe. I mean, that they could have done a better job here this time around.
Also, cut the competitions in half. Like, they're so boring and dull. Like, I just hate competitions anyway, but like, there's just so much filler. I mean, this was 2 hours and I felt like the stuff that we actually cared about was beyond rushed. And that's not what you want to see. And also, we had like a bunch of episodes recently that were just filler episodes where nothing happened. Like, just do an entire episode on jury discussion, jury roundtable, jury questioning, whatever, and then do an entire episode on the finale. I don't care. Like, it's the way that they're doing it now is so bad, and it's been bad for so long, and they don't care. And, you know, I don't think anything will ever change. And we're just going to always have this little segment on finale night where we talk about how bad it is. But, you know, that's just the way it is, I guess. And we just have to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at this cast, more so than many other casts, I feel like a lot of them understood the game. And we've talked about this a lot. This was a very good cast of players who understood what the game is. They could have asked so many different things. Live to tape would make so much more sense, especially without an audience. Honestly, I don't need an audience. Even when everything, when the pandemic is hopefully over one day, I don't need an audience. I'm fine. They do the confetti. Everything's the same. They've got the family and the Zoom call. I'm completely cool with that. Just this one aspect I feel like needs to change, because even though it was a foregone conclusion from the minute X won Final Three of the HOH that he was winning this thing, it was still fun to hear the answers to the questions. The questions were very dull. It was very fun watching Big D build himself up the way he has mm-hmm. been in front of the jury and have them all laugh at his face. That was great.
That was so awkward.
It would be even better if the questions are coming from a more personal place rather than people reading. And they started with Kylan, who very much robotically gave out whatever he was reading, like reciting it, not even making it his own. So that's not a good look at all.
Even Kylan seemed pissed. He was just like, oh, I guess this is what I have so to shady. Do. Okay. Because he clearly was like wanted to be like, so Xavier, explain about how money matters more than everything else. Like, you absolutely
where
wanted
do you
to
get off, it. Sir.
That's my question.
It's just like we don't even have to come up with like a clever solution for this. They used to do it all the way up until Big Brother 10, at least, right? Like, they mm-hmm. used to do it this way.
But they didn't have the final three person evicted in the live finale, correct? Right. That's the reason for this, because they had the final three. They used to have just the final two in the house on the feed, so they had, like, 5 days to do, like, all this stuff that was going to be in the finale.
That's what they should be doing.
Cut the feeds. We don't need to see the final two in there. Just have
so
the jury
anyway.
Whenever it is. Yeah, cut the feeds, you know, on Monday mm-hmm. when you do the jury questioning in the final part of the do it all on Monday, and then edit the show. I think the problem here is that they are just lazy and they mm-hmm. don't want to have to edit anything. It's the same reason why the diary rooms are all scripted. They literally are scripting the jury questioning segment so that they don't have to edit anything after the fact. They just want to be able to film it and be done with it. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm on Taryn's side on this one.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, that is the way we do this show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. We're not going to do like multiple takes. Okay, this is it. We're doing it once. That's it. That's the show.
do off season podcasts that are like more like edited, put together. It's way more difficult. It's way more work. But you know, you make a better product sometimes. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's just very frustrating. Especially because again, like they used to do it that way and it worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's just like, just put a little bit of effort and care into the product that you are selling here.
It's not like one less person is going to watch the finale if it's a final two versus a final three. Like, well, we did watch the show all season, but if it's down to these two, I'm not even going to tune in for the finale.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know so many people who used to watch Big Brother, and then they would kind of like sometimes you tend to tune out near the end. You always came back for the finale. I don't see people doing that anymore. I see people like, I'll find out who wins, because nobody actually wants to watch the finale. It's not an entertaining 2 hours of television.
I mean, really, especially compared to like what the episode that we got on Sunday night. If we could have just had the final three eviction then give us like 1 hour here on the finale night. It would have been fine.
Look, I apologize that we complain about this every single season, but it's like, what are you going to do? It's just such an egregious act of
we watched Kylan for 85 days. Yeah. All right. We have complaints at the end of the season.
Exactly.
We know how to complain. Now.
We'd like to speak to a manager.
Yes. Yeah.
We know how it's done. You know, one thing I won't complain about, though, to segue, is how enthusiastic the jury was. I felt like they made it really fun. They made the whole thing feel like a big party. And I do feel like a lot of the times, like the finale is taken very like somberly and everyone's very serious and it's very kind of quiet. But I loved how they were just like so enthused and just happy to be there and excited to talk and see everyone and share their thoughts. And it made me feel like I was like, oh yeah, we're all part of something. I don't know. It just felt very exciting. I feel like, you know, there are some finales where you do want it to be very somber and you want it to be kind of just like, okay, this is a big serious moment, but I don't feel like this was it. I feel like this was, you know, more of a celebration. Cause I think we all kind of knew going into it that Xavier was probably going to win. I think the jury already knew. So everyone was kind of just like excited to be there, happy to talk and, you know, just excited to crown a winner at that point. So, you know, I loved the enthusiasm.
Yeah, it felt to me like the jury was trying very hard to make it fun despite the instructions. Like Julia, wow, very rowdy jury over there. Like behave, guys.
They're stay
like,
in no, your we seats. Want That's where the good lighting is. Remember, kids. Yeah.
Don't you want this?
Yeah,
it was great. Hannah, we knew very very excited throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, we knew the assignment. We knew what the season was from the minute the first night of feed started. Turn it up. Yeah, we're going to celebrate. The jury pretty much had that energy coming into this, and it was perfect. I mean, that's what I want, right? I want people to want to be there. I want people to make the most of it, whether they went out 11th or 3rd. They're happy to be a part of this season, and that's why I love this cast as much as I did. It just felt like everyone was giving that energy, which I did appreciate very much.
Yeah, and it really was. Like, the best part of the jury questioning segment was the off-script laughing at Big D's answers, expectedly led by Chada, who has been laughing at Big D's game all season long. So she was very excited. Derek X, I thought was the best one, who said, why come if you don't plan to play?
Oof. That was a dagger. But, I love that.
Yeah. The voting was fine. Kyland, says, money isn't everything.
I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Good message, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like he would have not been saying that had he been, in contention to win the money, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, money isn't everything, because objective facts are everything.
That's right. That's right. So
only facts.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was pretty confident that Kylan was going to vote for Big D. They must have shamed him before. Okay. They're like, you cannot vote for Big D, Kylan.
I mean, this is the big jury effect, right? On a jury of nine people, you have a lot more social pressure to conform mm-hmm. to what the group thinks. There is zero chance Kylan votes for Xavier, in my opinion, even on like a 7-person jury, like with less people there to be like, Kylan, really? Mm-hmm. I think that he absolutely, but like, Kylan was busy trying to defend that like Hannah played the same game as Big D, that he couldn't also contend with the argument of like, well, Big D deserves my vote over Xavier. So, you know, he has to, I think he just has to concede that to the rest of the jury there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he attempted to put his foot in the water a little bit, just be like, let me see what they think about Big D. Let me just measure that. And when they shut him down, I feel like he was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to come out on top here. Might as well put everyone else putting it, be on the right side of history, which he was, right? Which is good. At least, at the very least, the records will show that he voted for the rightful winner mm-hmm. of the season. And that's a good look for him. If you do not have all the knowledge of the many days that we've been stewing on him and this cast for the last like 80 days. So,
yeah. I mean, Xavier ends up getting the 9-0 win. I know Dan has the unanimous win in BB10. Has anybody else in BBUS ever done the unanimous win?
Cody.
Cody just did.
I just did it. Yeah. I can't believe. I mean, how could I forget?
How could you forget?
I mean, it's been happening a lot lately, actually. First with Tamar, Dane in Canada, Cody. And then Ty recently, and now Xavier as well.
Kevin,
of course. Yes. That was a little while ago, but yeah. I mean, it's really as I said, I think with a 9-person jury, it's actually more likely. We've seen that in Survivor that the larger the jury, the more likely it is to be a unanimous vote. And also just kind of like it's there. In seasons where there's less focus on individuality and more focus on big alliances and conforming to the house votes, it's not super surprising that we're seeing more often that we are getting, because if this was season six, Kylan is voting how he wants, right? And like, it doesn't matter what anybody says. But that's not really the era of Big Brother that we are in.
I'm glad
Ty was close to that unanimous vote, but he didn't quite make it.
I'm glad X got a unanimous vote. I feel like it would have not been right, I think, if he didn't in this situation. I think if there was any sort of like bitter votes or something, because I really don't think anyone's voting like because they think Big D played a better game than X. So I think it would be a bitter vote if anything. And I'm glad that we didn't really have that. I think that X in this situation deserved to win unanimously.
Yeah, because we came out of an era where we had a bunch of like 3-5-4s in a row between the two times that Paul lost and Tyler losing to Casey. And I don't recall at all what the vote count was between Jackson and Holly.
I think one vote,
like 7-2.
Okay,
I feel like it was not that. Right. It was not one vote.
No, I don't think so. It was a 6-3 actually.
Okay.
Okay.
It was I think Nicole, Jessica and Kat.
Okay. There you go.
That sounds right.
As we said, like with these larger juries, we tend to get more sort of like group votes in general. I got the tie one wrong. It was a 7. Mm-hmm. But if there was ever a case for unanimous vote, it was Big D in the final two.
This was easily the right choice, and I feel like they couldn't have been easier. Now my question is, if it was Azza and Xavier at the end, is it still unanimous, or will Azza take one, maybe two votes away from Xavier?
I think Azza gets at least Brittany, for sure.
I think so too.
Even just as giving her something, right? Like, even if she knows she's not going to win, even if she doesn't think she's the better player necessarily, I think in a season of sympathy votes, I think Azza gets a sympathy vote there. But
No, this was the right way to go. This was the right way to go. Unanimous shutout. I'm happy with it. I was a little nervous after Kylan got up and word saladed all over the wheel, but it worked out ultimately. So we'll take it.
It worked out. Okay. Well, where do we think this falls here in terms of, you know, a season, in terms of the winner? It's been such a unique season, where, you know, it was dominated by a single alliance, which we do often see, but it was a very unique alliance in how it was structured and how the members of the alliance operated, and the motivations that we saw from the people in the alliance. I mean, you had, you know, even with the cookout itself, they were motivated beyond their personal game to get the cookout to the six, right? So that was like Tiffany and Hannah. They were like, you know, and Xavier primarily motivated to get the six to the six. That was their primary motivation. And then you had, even within that, you had Kylan, who was primarily motivated by wanting to be a Super Saiyan. You had Azza, who was primarily motivated by, like, I don't even know, to be honest, not money, but whatever it was, friendship, loyalty, deal-making, I'm not entirely sure. And then Big D, who was motivated by, like, don't let a woman get to the end, I think, was the primary motivation. Mm-hmm. It was such a strange season overall. And it was very exciting in the beginning. I think the cast was excellent. But I think it really will really stand as a, you know, unique season. You know, we talk a lot about, like, Survivor, like Gabon stands out for how unique it was. And I think this season is somewhat similar, where it's like, you know, maybe you were bored by the end of it. Maybe you, maybe you were somebody that didn't like the cookout. And you know, maybe you didn't like the season because of that, but like, I don't think there's a way that you can deny that this season has a massive impact, historically, because of the cookout, alone and the fact that we have our first black winner in a US proper season. And just like the way, even just the structure itself of the season was so unique. And I think we're going to be referring back to it for a long time here. In a way that a lot of other seasons we would just kind of forget and leave behind. I think this one's going to be very prescient as we move forward in Big Brother here, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it was Puya that said on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about how this is maybe the most important season of Big Brother that we've ever had. And when we're comparing it to other seasons, like, did it have the twists and turns that say maybe like a Big Brother 20 had or some of the earlier seasons? I mean, probably not. But so there were times where, like, in the big picture, like, we said, like, okay, well, this feels predictable because we know where it's going. But in the week to week, I mean, there was always something going on this show. So I think the idea that, like, this was a boring season is a little, like, underrated, is not exactly right, because every single round, even down to this week, where it's like, well, this is pretty straightforward, there was a lot of turmoil in the day to day. I mean, that these are always things to talk about that you had on the live feed updates. So I feel like that what the cookout did is going to be very important. I think that there's going to be a lot of discussion coming into this off season of, okay, well, what does this mean now for Big Brother? What is Big Brother 24 going to look like? And I think that we had this really great cast, and it was this first time out with the new diversity push at CBS for Big Brother. So I think that this is going to really stand, and when we talk about this so much in Survivor right now, of it being a new era of Survivor, I do think that this is going to be, you know, the beginning of a new era for Big Brother. So I think it's a season that we are going to look back at, I think, and with very fond memories.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've already said how I feel before, but, and Rob, you've echoed it. Best alliance in the history of the game. They went final six, all six of them there, to the point where Julie could openly talk to them live on the eviction night. That is something that we haven't seen before. That is not going to be easy to do moving forward. The final six on, they made it there, all intact. They navigated a lot. They had a lot of drama in between them. Again, this wasn't like six people that no matter what, like they still had a lot of friction. There was a lot of struggle in them trying to, you know, navigate this game and say goodbye to the people that they were getting close to, all for the cause that they had put in front of them. I think where a lot of people potentially started losing their intrigue for the show or losing their excitement, I think is when the final six hits, right? Where you start seeing the people that had the most agency get picked off one by one by one, and you're left with two people who a lot of people may have seen maybe didn't have a lot of agency, and then you have X who has had some agency, but has also kind of sat there and just gotten the benefit of a lot of other people's moves and just kind of becomes, by default, the best possible outcome, right? Or as far as a winner ranking goes.
I did love that segment on the show when Azza goes to Xavier and she's like, I'm thinking I'm going to take you. And he's like, even in the diary room, he's like, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was handed to him on a silver platter and he took it. And I mean, ultimately for me, I'm going to remember that. I think as a winner, he's somewhere in the middle, most likely. But then for as a season on its own, I enjoyed this a lot. I enjoyed the season a lot. I enjoyed talking about it a lot. There were a lot of important discussions happening on the internet throughout these last couple months, which was great. Out the gate, we had one of the wildest HOH reigns of all time, with Frenchie. And then since then, I personally enjoyed it a lot. And I understand, you know, a lot of people saw it as a steamroll. A lot of people saw it as a boring outcome, predictable. But for me, watching the day-to-day and just seeing the friction, the turmoil, and seeing people actively, you know, go up in the power ranking, go lower, go higher, have a good spot start of the day, in a bad spot end of the day. By 5 a.m., they're back where they were in the morning somehow. Like that roller coaster, I enjoyed that quite a bit. I kept up with the feeds pretty much the whole season. I kept up with the live feed updates all season. On other seasons, sometimes low-key, I might fall off a little bit. I might be just a little bit on it, but I've been busy because I've been keeping up with the season and I don't regret it. I've had a great time. And I think for seasons to come, this is going to be one of the more important seasons. This is going to be a season I think they're going to show a lot of the future contestants for sure. And hey, happy birthday, Dominic Cesternino. You ask him, best season ever. He's loved the first 8 episodes. Sorry, Dominic. I know your birthday wish was for your dad to win the draft. You didn't get that. But hey, it was a good season, Dominic. It was a good season.
He loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think that this season, like overall, like if you're just looking at it as a whole, I feel like it was very entertaining. I definitely think that the first half was really entertaining. The back half was like not so entertaining. And then I guess when you kind of like even those out, you end up with like a pretty good season. I had a lot of fun covering it and watching it. And especially in the beginning, you know, there were so many things going on and so many people to root for. I felt like I had so many favorites and I just was so excited to watch all of them play and interact. And just, I had such a good time. And you know, people will say, well, Melissa, but you always complain on all the podcasts. And so did you really like it all that much? I think you're just like looking at it with rose colored glasses now, but you know, what am I going to talk about if I don't complain on the podcast? You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to do? Just be like, everything's great. I'm really enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. Then just sit there. You got to have things to talk about.
Yeah, would you listen to that, people?
Yeah. Would you listen to that? Think about it. Think about it. So, you know, I feel like I have a lot to say on the podcasts and stuff like that. But overall, I had a really fun time watching it. And there were just so many good characters on the show. And I think, you know, overall, I think Xavier, I think we all kind of seem to agree that he's more of a mid-tier winner. I think he could have been really great, but he didn't necessarily need to do anything to be great. And so because we didn't really see that, and then because it kind of made it very clear that he didn't know exactly what had happened in the house because he really didn't need to, he kind of just like was able to just get to the end, you know, obviously doing things, but he didn't really have to know everything that was going on. And I feel like because of that, he's a mid-tier winner for me. I did say low tier, but you know, I'm kind of warming up to the idea of a mid-tier player. So overall, great season. I had such a fun time covering it. And, you know, I will look back on it fondly for sure.
Yeah. It's also not like the pantheon of Big Brother winners are like the immortals. Like it's not super hard to crack like the top third of the Big Brother winners.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting up there in terms of the amount, though, finally. We're still, not nearly as many as Survivor, but it did take that break. So I do want to talk a little bit about the competition here, because part three we already talked about is super easy, which I'm fine with. The more crapshooty that one is, the better, in my opinion. I personally think they should go back to the, like, what did the juror say? I think that's more interesting and entertaining. And also, I like that it's a crapshoot, but I know that that's not an opinion shared by a lot of people, especially after they saw Vanessa lose it. But I would personally like that. But I would like to talk about part two of the final three HOH, because that one was brutal to watch here for Big D personally, even though he is dead to me. Watching Big D, and then also, like, why are we seeing the skin of his?
Oh, that was so bad. The close-up of the skin flap?
Yeah.
I did not want that.
I was Azza in the diary room at that point, and I'm going to get a brief warning for this sound clip, but I was like...
Rob's face now.
That clip gets a warning, but then the Julie Chen getting excited about Baby D is fine? Ooh, how, that needs a warning.
Oh, there's too many warnings. I love it.
Big D has taco meat.
Oh boy, these are all bad.
I think he has taco knee.
Yeah, it was bad. It was just a close up of a skin flap, and I do not love it.
We've talked about this a little bit already, but like just the fact that Big D, the second he saw that competition, was like, oh, all right. And he tried his hardest. And man, he put in a great effort, considering how much of a disadvantage he was in. I saw a lot of people say, like, why wasn't he just using his feet? He did say on the feeds that he tried using his feet and he was just falling over. The only way he could make it happen was using his knees, and he tore them apart to get a time that was, like, not nearly as far behind Azza's as you might have anticipated, considering the overtly physical nature of this competition. I definitely, for as much as we're going to rag on Big D here, probably for the rest of time, massive props to him in that competition for persevering and putting in that effort.
I mean, that wasn't even fair. Like, it was not a fair competition. It was obvious that, like, Azza was going to get it. And I think that, like you said, to his credit, he still tried. Whereas, like, I know that in some situations, some people might see that and be like, yeah, no, I'm not putting myself through that when I'm clearly not going to be able to win this one. I don't know why they picked this as like the final competition, but, okay.
And this is part of why we have players like Big D, that, the fact is they cast Big D and then they have so many, not all, but so many competitions that the second he walks out there, he goes, oh, I have zero shot of winning this one. That's just like that, that creates players like Big D who end up having zero agency in the game and just getting dragged to the end. And I don't think that is fair to players like Big D. And I also don't think it's good for the game, because it encourages you to, like, oh, this person has zero chance to win the final three HOH. Definitely, I'm going to bring them to the final three. Right. It just halts gameplay like that. So, not a fan.
Totally. No.
Also, yeah, why not knee pads?
Yeah. Simple solution.
Mm-hmm. I assume that they didn't anticipate that somebody would be using their knees.
For sure.
The second he starts using his knees, be like, okay, hold on. Let's, as soon as you finish this one, let's halt this for a second and give you some knee pads, because this is, out of control.
They could not have done that editing wise. It would have looked weird to be like, all of a sudden he has knee pads on. Then they'd be rigged.
though they would just, he would just be in the diary room like, so I decided to grab the knee pads that I ignored before.
Yeah.
But those, yeah, I thought I didn't need knee pads, but turns out I did. So yeah. I got them myself.
I mean, I don't think it would have changed the outcome. It would have just gave him less knee flap and maybe a minute shaved off potentially. Yeah.
I don't like knee flap.
You started it. I didn't even want to use the word. You brought it into the podcast. So it's on
that
you.
That was the only way to refer to it. As much as it's disgusting.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple of questions here. If you guys,
can I also just talk about? I thought it was wild tonight that Julie, like all season long, there was such like strict COVID protocols, and then once they announced Xavier the winner, like Xavier, get over here, everybody, get in here. I mean, Azza got an air hug. And it was just so wild. And look, don't get it twisted, people listen to the podcast. Like, I am not I guess COVID's not as real as you. Like, no, I'm just saying, like, it was weird. They had one rule the whole season, and then in the same episode, they like just said,
right. And like that's the thing, right? Because last year we had a similar situation where it was like, why are the evicted house guests wearing masks, but Julie isn't? Like, we're all four of us here are all about maintaining protocol and doing what's safe in the midst of this pandemic.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I'm speaking for all four of you boldly, but like three of us, but like, I feel like we're on the same page. The problem is, like you said, Rob, it's in the same episode. And it just means that even if it was an illusion from y'all that you're doing all this, you shattered it. So what was the point?
I don't know. And also, like, it's like people say, well, the game was still going on. But we were talking to the evicted house guests every single week of like, what did it matter? Like was Julie like the, we were making it like almost like that they were going to give Julie COVID.
I was just going to say, the only thing I can think of is possibly that, like, when those house guests were coming out, they were then going to go into the jury house, and they didn't want, like, if Julie had it,
the pre-jury people.
House guests. Well, I think they don't want Julie to have it throughout the season, like, obviously. But I think that, like, so I think that's to protect Julie.
But the people in the house were in a bubble.
All I'm saying is I do think that like it makes sense where it's like, we're going to send you guys to the jury house. So let's keep you guys separate from Julie. Like we want to maintain that sort of like bubble, quote unquote. And then once the show is over and the jury is no longer going back to the jury house or anything like that, it's like, well, you guys are all going on your own anyway. Like it's not our issue anymore. It's not production's issue. So I do think that like it makes sense, I guess. Like, if I'm Julie, it's like, okay, like let's just hug. Everyone's going home, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I think it was jarring for sure because it was like 5 seconds before she's like, don't touch, air hug. Like, you know, she says
continuity
her whole air hug
for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I need the continuity.
I mean, I think like there is a world where it kind of makes sense that like you know during the season. If anybody, even an evicted player who goes pre-jury, like got COVID from the Big Brother production, like that would be bad news. Whereas like now that the season's over, it can't ruin anything. Like I can maybe sort of piece together that logic. But even if that were the case, it still means that Julie messed up on one of these things, right? Like either she was not supposed to interact with the house guests at all. And she forgot. When she was hugging Xavier, or she didn't need to care now that the season is basically over, and she didn't need to air hug Azza when she walked out, right? Like one or the other is true.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the good news is everybody there is vaccinated, so at least there's that. But you know, obviously, it is weird to see, like, especially because she brings it up too. It's like, oh, air hug, like don't come any closer to me. Like it's not just like silently, like it's understood, like, okay, let's like be apart. It's like she says it.
Hold on. I feel like we are forgetting something important because earlier in the episode, they were talking with the pre-jurors and they were talking with everyone. And Julie said, hold on, I'm hearing one word, in my ears. Unity.
Unity.
Unity. And from that moment forward, she just had to be one with the rest of the players, and it had to unite with them. You know,
all the children of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I just solved it.
Okay.
It's all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
the puzzle.
Unity.
Unity. Mm-hmm. Wow. That I'm feeling that word right now.
Yeah. He did a big push for Celebrity Big Brother also coming back.
Yes.
Yay, I'm so excited.
We've also seen that Big Brother has been renewed for season 24, so it will be back in the summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Do it again.
Ooh. Yeah. Speaking of that night that Derek X got evicted, what was with Derek X talking about Travis so much? How weird was that?
It's his showman.
Yeah, he said it, and then like they were like, "Oh yeah, he was like interested in love or something," and then they showed Hannah, and then he was like, "Yeah, Travis." Also, is that Travis's sweatshirt that everyone's been saying is Derek X's sweatshirt? Because he said, "I still have your sweatshirt," and then Travis was like, "It looks better on you." Is that Travis's sweatshirt, the one that like was sold out of like H&M in like 2 seconds, or it was like Abercrombie in 2 seconds, because everyone was just like, I need a Derek X sweatshirt, and everyone's like, look, Tiffany's wearing the sweatshirt now, oh, Hannah's wearing the sweatshirt now, and like, was that Travis's sweatshirt all along?
I think it might have been. I'm pretty sure it wasn't his sweatshirt to begin with. Derek X, I think, brought Travis up more than Alyssa brought Christian up.
Yeah, Derek X, stop trying to make Travis a thing.
Where was Travis, by the way? Because it looked like he was in like a bathroom with surfboards in it.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine as to where Travis. With everyone's rooms, you know, I was focusing on the one that looked the most aesthetically pleasing. And I really felt like Christian had the most going on in his background. And I thought Christian's would be like just a simple background, because I really thought he was going to be at a hotel like 2 blocks away, ready to like jump into the backyard. Is. You think so? It looked like maybe it's an Airbnb. You know, I didn't think about that. Maybe it's an Airbnb that he's at. Oh,
yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. I'm sure the chat knows.
Chat, do you know? Yeah. You have the scoop?
They're on top of this stuff.
Maybe that's the Airbnb he's hoping that everyone will come hang out at.
Yeah, he's got it all set up.
Probably it's not going to work out anymore. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear from Whitney, Frenchie, or... Well,
that was it.
Travis. We didn't hear from Travis.
Wow, you were just talking about him and you forgot him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't talk to Frenchie. I mean, I feel like that, after like he really got everything going this week.
Frenchie, you accomplished your goal here. How do you feel about the cookout?
Yeah. Maybe they thought he would take too much credit.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
He really kickstarted the season for sure.
Or he would say that Derek F was robbed.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And we did get like Julie brings it up, and this is when Kylan is talking to Xavier about like, when you watch it back, and Kylan also seems to be referring to like, well, we got to watch the tapes. Like we watched it. We did a play by play. We went frame by frame. And as you will eventually see, Xavier, it's very clear that I'm in the right in this. And I'm like, did they watch it back together as a jury? Like,
it sounded like they did.
Very interested to know about that.
Yeah.
I will not forgive them if they got to watch it and we didn't get to see them reactions. That's what I wanted. I wanted the reaction. So I'm going to be very sad if that's
I want
case.
To see Kylan pulling out the trolley with the old timey TV
with two hands.
VR. and then playing it for them, and then when they're like, Kylan, how dare you, him being like, hold on, let me rewind real quick,
like, sorry, you missed it, I think,
slow motion. Yeah, as you can see here, what I'm saying is this is an objective fact and this is an objective fact, and I want to see that whole process. Mm-hmm. Please.
Yeah,
how about this, was Kylan wearing Derek's ring tonight?
I noticed that. I don't think so. I don't know the differences between the rings, but I do believe that Kyland had his own ring.
Yeah.
As well as Big D's ring, and he pocketed Big D's ring. So unless he was wearing two rings, I think he was probably wearing his own.
bringing up the chat.
I think that was his ring.
If you could ask Big D about it, Ted, like
I think it'll come up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Because I'm very curious, whether or not this ring gets returned or not.
All right. Well, I do think we have some questions that we can get to here. If we want to answer some questions, so let me try and pull this up here for us. Look at that. From Mecca. Wants to know, does Azza really believe that Big D started the cookout? I was surprised to hear her give him that credit in her speech tonight. They've all talked about this a bit here about Big D, and he says this as well. I thought this was particularly interesting that Big D in his speech said, I started the cookout, all six members.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah was not a part of the cookout initially, actually, Big T. But Big D is the one. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. Big D is the one that got people together and said, hey, let's work together. So in that sense, he, you know, quote unquote, started the cookout. But as we've discussed, like, that doesn't exactly mean what he thinks it means in terms of like the credit here. All right.
Yeah.
Let's pull up another question here. Wilson wants to know, do you agree with Xavier's assessment of his game being quote unquote pretty good? Thanks for the amazing coverage this season.
I mean, pretty good is a low bar.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably better than pretty.
Yeah. I mean, pretty good. I would say it's pretty fine. It was like pretty okay. I don't know if I'd go quite as far as pretty good, but you know, it was fine. I mean, it was really telling to me. First of all, the question, what was your biggest mistake in the game, Xavier? The biggest mistake, you know, my biggest mistake is that I just care too much about people. You know, that's just my team was
what biggest a flaw.
Like, you couldn't think of an answer because, like, what moves does he even have to say were a mistake to make? And then, of course, like the biggest move that he had was, of course, saying that he threw the HOH to Derek X, knowing full well that this was going to benefit the cookout when he dragged his feet that whole week and said, this is not good for the cookout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like ultimately with X, I think based on the way I've seen, you know, the internet react to him and everything, I don't think he's underrated and I don't think he's overrated. I think we all understand where he stands. So pretty good. Like, I would give him an, it's high. It's okay. Like, it's fine. But ultimately, again, he was able to get the job done in so good that we knew it was coming from, like, basically when the jury began. So from that regard, pretty good. But also as far as like, best of the season, probably not. And he was all right. I think that's really it. He was okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Dan wants to know, what questions do you wish were asked to Xavier and Big D and why? Melissa, what questions would you have asked Big D and Xavier?
You know, I wish if I'm going to like, I would ask certain questions, but I would have liked to have seen the jury kind of share their true feelings with them. That's what I would have liked to have seen. So maybe it doesn't even necessarily have to be a question. I would just like them to kind of like get them to speak on their own game. I think the most important one to ask, honestly, both of them is like, what specific moves did you make as an individual? Not like to further your own game. Like, what were your best moves if you have to pick or whatever? Not just like, oh, I, you know, I brought an alliance together or whatever. Nothing that has to do with like the cookout as a whole. It has to be you as an individual. What did you do? I feel like making them speak to their own game moves as an individual versus like, well, the cookout did this and that, and we got out so-and-so and we did this. You know, especially with Derek Big D saying, well, and look at this, I got you out one by one. It's like, you had nothing to do with that. So like, don't give yourself the credit. So having them try and speak to exactly what their game moves were, would have been interesting to me. But you know, I don't know if they would have been able to do it.
Assuming I would be asking a question on either, like I get to pick one, I'm asking them the same question because I want them to get a little messy. I'd say rank the cookout from first to sixth, first being player or best, most deserving winner to least. And then I'd just watch them shoot themselves a little bit.
That's good. That'd be good because then like someone's going to be mad. Like people are going to be upset by it no matter like what they say. So, that's a real good one. Oh, I would have loved this. Maybe you guys should ask that. Mm-hmm. You guys should ask that in your question.
Well, they've said on the feeds.
Yeah, and then be like, you're wrong. Yeah. That's not true.
The thing for me is that the best part of the roundtable for me was we were getting a lot of your typical kind of like, well, Xavier's there. He must have done something, right? He must have won when he needed to. He must have been throwing. He must have known what a great position he was in. And then Tiffany, of course, it's Tiffany, comes in like, I don't know if he knew what he was doing the whole time. I don't even knew the game that you're saying he played, which is exactly what it is. And so I would have loved to see Tiffany ask him questions to sort of like expose that fact, right? Mm-hmm. That would have been great. And we might have even gotten it in an extended format, which would have been a lot more fun.
I was just going to say, like, just speaking on the jury segment or the roundtable, I thought that Claire and Sarah Beth and Tiffany did a really good job in the jury segment of basically calling out, like, you know, that just competition wins doesn't really mean anything if you're not, you know, making good moves for your own game or like, you know, saying what you just said about how, you know, if you don't know what's going on in the game, then is that really, are you really like a great player? Like, it's hard to say. So I thought that the three of them did a great job of calling that out. Cause I also think that that's something that needs to be said. And I feel like it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in like, well, they're in the final, you know, so something must've happened, especially if you're not in the majority alliance, like how Sarah Beth or Claire to know what exactly Xavier was doing if they're not a part of it. And so it's good to see like Tiffany and Hannah, you know, being there and saying like, no, he wasn't like the mastermind leader of the cookout. Like that's not what happened, even though Kylan was there kind of saying opposite things.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to another one here. We have one from Gwyneth, who wants to know, where does Big D finish if there's no cookout? I think that's all. He certainly could still make it to the end. But the thing about Big D, and one of the reasons why I was saying probably worse than, you know, even like Victoria or Raven or whatever, is that like, he wasn't even the goat to be dragged to the end for most people. Most people actually did want to target him for a lot of the game. Mm-hmm. He was one of the people that was targeted pre-jury by non-cookout members. He was protected by the cookout, and he was on the block up against Brittany, and they wanted to flip the vote against him. And they couldn't because they were not, they did not have the votes there for the cookout. And then even then he was, you know, being targeted, a lot once they hit the cookout, at various points throughout the season. So, the point here is that like, he did not make enough relationships in the house to protect himself. And he was not such an obvious, like, goat to be dragged to the end, or at least he was too much of a goat to be dragged to the end that people were like, I don't want him here because he's going to take up one of those final two seats. And then, you know, he did. Fair point. Mm-hmm. But that's all the questions we have. I think that's where we leave this season off here, Rob. It's what a season it's been.
What a season it's been. And we still have a lot coming your way because we're going to have later on tonight. Final three and America's favorite player interviews.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to talk to Tiffany. And maybe she can help us understand what happened there with Kyland in the videotape.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, maybe we can find that out. If you've got question ideas, we're gonna talk to them in about 45 minutes. Well, send it on Twitter.
My mom just texted and said, when Tiffany comes on your show, make sure she knows I was Team Tiffany all along.
Okay.
Well, this is mom.
I was like, I don't think I can like say that, but you know, I appreciate the sentiment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Be on the lookout for that coming up on Thursday. Earlier tonight, the Survivor Know-It-Alls were back together and had a lot of fun with Steven going through another interesting episode of Survivor 41. Be sure to check that out if and when you get caught up on Survivor. And on Thursday, I'll be talking with Adam Klein after I do tomorrow's exit interview. I have a nice recap with Adam, fresh off of playing in season 40. See what he thinks about season 41. Then we will have Josh Wigler talking Survivor for the first time, certainly in a while, on the Feedback Show. So get those voicemails in for Josh Wigler talking some Survivor. Going to record that on Thursday as well. And then we're doing the Survivor Q&A. Taryn and I all season long did the BB Q&A. Aman joined me for the first regular season edition of the Survivor Q&A Monday nights. So I'll be taking questions from the patrons each week about Survivor. And this week, Mari Forth will join us on Monday night. So hope you can be there for that coming up in the patron podcast feed. Of course, Shannon Gus. I'm sorry, this is Taryn. Kevin Martin tomorrow.
Yes, Kevin Martin's going to be joining me to talk through the Survivor episode tonight. He was a fan favorite guest last season here on the Survivor podcast. So I've got him back. We're going to talk through. Speaking of Big Brother players who've won by unanimous vote, Kevin Martin. There you go.
Okay.
I hope he knows who I am now and not just that girl, that new girl.
I'll ask him about that new girl and her mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. What time is that tomorrow?
7 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern. Okay. And then, Taryn, what's going on with The Circle?
The Circle, the finale dropped today as well. The Circle ended just like Big Brother did. Mm-hmm. We've got, I'm sure, plenty to talk about here for The Circle finale. We're going to be talking through all of that on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the next picture. Okay. Then Puya, what's going on over on 90 Day?
90 Day is just as wild as ever, man. We're five episodes deep now. And it's been a very fun season. Again, I've mentioned this before. It's refreshing to get a new cast after having the same cast pretty much for two seasons in a row. I also had Mari Forth on as my guest this week, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We learned about a new phenomenon, or maybe an old phenomenon. I was just late to it. Learned all about silking.
Yeah, I think it's been going around for a while.
I somehow was lucky enough to evade it until Mari said, "No more. You got to know what it means now." So there was definitely a lot of fun. And then I've been also covering 90 Day Bears all at the tail end of the podcast, just to give people.
I think I learned about that on News AF a while back.
Well, there you go, Rob. You were there before I was.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's a lot.
Yeah, what's going on with the Masked Singer?
Hey, Masked Singer just started. We had a two-episode premiere last week, Wednesday night, Thursday night. They've unmasked three people so far. They've injected two wild cards into the game. This week, we're meeting Group B for the first time. So the pictures you see in the image on here, those are the new people we've not seen yet. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to my partner, Liana, and about all the things. It's especially another level talking Masked Singer with her because she just comes up with the weirdest things to talk about. Sometimes this past week, she talked about length versus height for measuring a baby. Mm-hmm. And this went on for entirely too long. But we have fun on the Masked Singer podcast. So definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm. Not width, right? You're just still talking about like measuring a baby?
Yeah. Basically, her whole thing was, if a baby is just born, right, they're going to be measured by length because they can't stand, right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So like, okay, well, then they stand at height. See, what happens in the interim when they're like crawling? I'm like, well, it's still length because they're not standing up. See, but I feel like we need to talk about that more. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she understood what she was trying to say. And I don't understand what she's trying to say. And it, this has been height. Like, yeah.
It's not length. It's height. It's always height.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. When you're when you can't stand, it's not height.
You don't have to stand on your own just to have a height.
Taryn, they're not making the baby like vertical to measure the height, though. They got a little side
measure the height vertically. You can lay something down to measure height.
Well, have you ever heard someone be like, the height of this baby is 1 foot, like 2 inches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a foot tall.
A 1 foot baby. Again, this is what I was like. I've never cared about a baby's length or height. So like, this has never been an issue for me, but Liana really cares about it. So.
All right. Check out the Masked Singer, wrap up. Of course, so much going on in our patron podcast feed. October is going to be a great time to become a patron of a Rob as a podcast. We've got so much going on with Survivor, maybe a postseason slop. Maybe Dominic Sestrino will give his recap of BB23 along the way. Plenty of other fun stuff that we're doing.
I want to see Dominic.
Puya, I hear a patron mafia is in the works also.
That's right. Next week, we'll be back with it. It'll be fun. It'll be us talking about it. It'll be Rob playing it. It'll be Jordan Kalish hosting it. So it'll be a phenomenal time. It's always a great time to be a patron, especially start of the month.
Lots of great stuff coming up. Of course, access to our patron Facebook and Discord at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, hit the subscribe button. Lots of great stuff coming your way here on our YouTube channel, including a video of our interviews from later on tonight. And of course, follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on TikTok, where we have great stuff coming your way as well, at Rob Has a Podcast. All right, Melissa, what's coming up for you after Melissa, the newlywed? Congratulations again on your offer to you and Dennis. And so what? How's newlywed life?
It's good. It's good. We're finally able to, you know, do some projects around the new house. So we installed lights outside, little string lights, just trying to get everything kind of cleaned up a little because we kind of put everything on hold. But very excited to have our final round table to go over everything. I will be on that. So that'll be fun. Just trying to, get caught up in everything that I put on hold because of the wedding and Big Brother. So, definitely excited to watch other shows and, get excited for Big Brother Celebrity. I want to try and start up a Pen 15 podcast. I'm very interested in doing that. So that's still, in the works. It's still something.
A lot of ideas percolating.
Yeah, it's percolating. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Follow It's Melissa with 3 A's. Yes.
Yeah, on all social media. Check me out on Instagram. I've been trying to be a little more active on that. So,
Okay.
Should do it. And right. Twitter, obviously.
Well, great job here on the finale, Melissa. And thank your mom for watching all season long.
I will, for sure.
Okay. And then, Puya, what's coming up for you?
Well, the Big Brother chapter coming to a close. There's still 90 Day Fiance going strong. Masked Singer just started, so I'll be busy with both. We'll be talking The Circle this Friday, so that'll be great too. And then I'll be watching all of Survivor as it comes along as well. And I'm going to be pulling a lot more of my energy into my Twitch channel once again. Now with Big Brother over, it opens up a little bit more time for me to get creative with it. So I'll be over there, twitch.tv/Puya, 3 to 4 times a week. Excited to get that going again. And then my Twitter account, obviously, @Puyaism. If you want to follow me for any information. It's wild to think about the fact that this is the exact same season where for like a month, people were convinced Taryn was on the season and were bothering all of us about
it.
Wow. This was the same season.
So remember that? Imagine that. Remember that?
I loved that.
What a time.
Yeah. What's funny about that is that people, now it's like a collective state of knowledge for people that I was almost on the season. And that I got cut last second or something.
Yeah. Well, it was too bad that you got
You'll get
cut,
it next honestly. Time, Taryn.
Yeah. You were so close. So now that it's over, we can finally admit Taryn was almost on the season. He was in sequester. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't work out. So,
I found out that Frenchie was going to be there and I knew he was going to target me as a
meathead.
Yeah, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Taryn, January 21st, 22nd, just don't be online for like a week. Let's see what happens.
I am planning to move again at the beginning of February. So
okay. All right.
It's happening.
Wow.
All right.
Incredible that Taron's been so recognized for his work that he's going to be on Celebrity Big Brother.
Wow. You heard it here first.
I didn't say so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to call myself a celebrity, but if you want to, I mean, it's fine.
If you want to, I'll put it in my Twitter bio. Fine.
All right. We'll put you, great job here tonight. And then Taron, you're at the end of your marathon. You did almost.
We got post marathon activities going on.
Post marathon activities, certainly. But this is the end of the proper coverage all the way through, and of course, you know, once again, perfect attendance. Didn't miss a day along the way. You made the summer for so many people. So first, you know, congratulations. Thank you again for such a great job. What's coming up for you?
Find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taron Armstrong. I'll still be live watching the Survivor episodes with you guys, which is a lot of fun. Oftentimes more fun than Big Brother episodes because there's more that actually happens a lot of the time. So come hang out with me for that, as well as plenty of other stuff going on Twitch. As Puya said, I will have more time as well to stream over there on Twitch. So come hang out and have some fun with us over there. It's a good time. If you haven't tried Twitch before, it's a great time. It's not that dissimilar to the live feed update kind of thing, you know, except there's like even more interaction. We have some fun there. So try it out. Give it a shot over there on Twitch. And of course, check out the Survivor podcast. As I said, I'm going to be talking with Kevin tomorrow. And I'm going to have some more great guests over the course of the season, going through the Survivor episodes, rating the players, having some fun with all of that. The circle is out there. And then, you know, we'll be back for Big Brother Celebrity in the new year. And you know, as I said, post-marathon activities. We're going to have the postseason roundtable next week. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of interviews with the house guests from this season, in addition to the ones that we're going to do very shortly here tonight, hopefully talking through a couple of the players' games and stuff like that. So stay tuned for all of that. Don't leave us just yet. We've got more to give you. But thank you guys genuinely for sticking with us all season long. It really, really makes me feel great that you guys care to listen to me play this soundbite over and over because I really enjoy it. And I'm glad that you didn't leave me because I played it too much.
Yeah. Also, thank you to, well said, Taron. Thank you to the thousands of you that stayed up late tonight to hear us talk about the finale. Thank you to all those super chats that came in during this episode. Of course, thank you to the moderators for all your tireless work all season long. This chat gets rowdy. We do our best to try to keep the chat a nice place for the people that show up and the podcasters as well. So thanks as well to all the moderators all season long. And with that, we're going to get ready to do some interviews coming up here in a little bit. Thank you so much for listening all season long. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.